40 minutes later, Lake and his group landed in Atlanta. In the small terminal for private aircraft, Lake stood before an eager group of reporters. He spoke solemnly, without notes. "At this moment, we should be in prayer for those who have been injured and killed by this act of war. Our thoughts and prayers are with them and their families, and also with the rescue people. I am not going to politicize this event, but I will say that it is absurd for this country to once again suffer at the hands of terrorists. When I am president, no American life will go unaccounted for. I will use our new military to track down and annihilate any terrorist group that preys upon innocent Americans. That's all I have to say." He walked off, ignoring the shouts and questions from the pack of shaggy dogs. "Brilliant," thought Teddy, watching live from his bunker. "Quick, compassionate, yet tough as hell. Superb." He once again patted himself on the back for choosing such a wonderful candidate. When Lufkin called again, it was past midnight in Cairo. The fires had been extinguished, and they were hauling out bodies as fast as they could. Lufkin had been to several bomb sites in his career, and this was a bad one, he reported. Teddy rolled around his room and poured another decaf coffee. The Lake terror ads would begin at prime time. On this very night, the campaign would spend $3 million in a coast-to-coast deluge of fear and doom. They'd pull the ads tomorrow and announce it beforehand. Out of respect for the dead and their families, the Lake campaign would temporarily suspend its little prophecies. High time candidate Lake's positives shot upward. The Arizona and Michigan primaries were less than a week away. The first pictures from Cairo were of a harried reporter with his back to an army barricade. Sirens wailed all around, lights flashed, but the reporter knew little. A massive bomb had exploded deep in the embassy at 10:20 when a party was breaking up. No idea of the casualties, but there'd be plenty, he promised. As of yet, no one had claimed responsibility. Lufkin called around 8 p.m. D.C. time to tell Teddy that the American ambassador to Egypt could not be located, and they were beginning to fear he might be in the rubble. While talking to Lufkin on the phone, Teddy was watching the muted reporter. A Lake terror ad appeared on another screen. It showed the rubble, the carnage, the bodies, the radicals from some other attack, then the smooth but earnest voice of Aaron Lake promising revenge. How perfect the timing, Teddy thought.